Every year around the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which was January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in America, thousands and thousands of Americans come from all over the country, and they brave the cold winter of Washington, D.C. to have the annual March for Life. This is an annual event, and this most recent event, just happening in January of 2020, President Trump himself spoke, and this became the first time a U.S. president actually addressed the March for Life. Others have done it, I believe, by phone, but not there in person. Now, the Hillsdale College for Life student group, that is Hillsdale College out of Michigan, this student group has been attending the walk for the past 15 years, and Nolan Ryan is a senior at Hillsdale College. He has participated for the last 3 years, including this year in the annual March for Life in D.C. And in reference to the March for Life and the whole pro-life movement in general, Nolan Ryan says three generations have lived under legalized abortion, which means the pro-life movement can be a good way for people of all ages to come together around the common goal of ending abortion. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Nolan Ryan, who is a senior at Hillsdale College in Michigan, to this program. Thank you, Nolan, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Sure. Now, you have attended, as we said, three of these marches for life. Go ahead and describe it for us. I mean, yeah, I guess you're in the cold in Michigan anyway, and maybe it's a little warmer in D.C., but you really would have had to brave cold, you know, weather to do it, you know, each time. But tell us about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as the weather, this year we had really nice weather. It was pretty moderate temperatures. So sometimes we get blizzards, and sometimes we get nice sunny days. But as far as the people who are gathering there, it's almost hard to describe, but there's this energy among these strangers that you're surrounded by who you've got this camaraderie with, as you're all here to march in peaceful protest of legalized abortion, especially in light of the Roe v. Wade decision. And so it's just this interesting dynamic where, you know, you don't know any of the people around you except for whoever you traveled with, but you all have this shared bond that's kind of bringing you together. And it definitely is a peaceful protest as opposed to a lot of marches that you see today that get some violence and even some anger and rage. And I think that's something unique about the March for Life I've seen every year I've attended. You have people who are clearly upset about Roe v. Wade and subsequent decisions, but at the same time they're very hopeful and willing to work with other very different people to speak out against this injustice.
And how many would you say attended, approximately?
Oh, man, I think it could easily have been in the hundreds of thousands this year. Some places say tens of thousands, but I've seen reports that said 500,000 maximum were expected. Which is pretty significant when you consider that there's a lot of people coming from, especially the Midwest. There's people coming from down south. I've seen people before from California out there, even other countries.
And what about protests on the other side, and what about media coverage?
Yeah, so as far as the other side, the pro-abortion side, there's really not a lot of counter-protests that you see at the March for Life, which actually surprised me my first year. This year, I actually saw the most I've ever seen, and that might have been 10 or 15 people who were scattered around with pro-abortion signs. But largely, there is no counter-protest, which is very interesting.
Okay, media coverage.
As far as the media coverage, it's often downplayed if it's covered at all. It's kind of just
you mean the Right to Life march, Yeah.
It's downplayed. You know, news outlets will say, "Oh, people showed up to protest abortion," and there's not much else. This year, I would say there's a lot more focused coverage on the march, especially on President Trump's speech at the pre-march rally, which is totally understandable if if a sitting president is going to show up at this event for the first time in history. I don't think news outlets would have an excuse to not cover it in some form.
And yet, there was still, you know, not a lot of coverage. Let's put it this way. If Barack Obama had spoken when he was president, you know, at some pro-abortion rally, there would have been a lot more coverage. I mean, the media is biased and definitely in favor of abortion rights. And so that bias has shown not only in sins of commission, but also sins of omission, you know, leaving out so much about the abortion issue. I mean, the average American, for example, we've all heard of Roe v. Wade, but how many know that Roe, the real person, you know, ended up becoming pro-life and for the last 20 years of her life or whatever, wanted to see Roe v. Wade overturned? I mean, most people don't know that.
No one's covering that story except obviously pro-life media outlets.
Exactly. Okay, so it's encouraging, though, to hear about college students getting involved in this. You are at Hillsdale. Where is Hillsdale? It's in Michigan somewhere. Where?
Yeah, so Hillsdale is about a little over an hour northwest of Toledo, Ohio. So it's kind of smack dab in the middle of the mitten of Michigan, so southern Michigan. It's basically out in the middle of cornfields. So it's a really small rural town out here.
So the name of the city or the town is the same as the name of the college, Hillsdale.
Hillsdale,
Michigan.
Yes.
Okay, I see. All right, and so it can't be too far from Detroit then in that sense. I mean, like within an hour or two, something like that. Okay, so how many students from Hillsdale about went to this march, and how did you get there? Tell us about that, and what did you see as far as other colleges and so forth, other young people getting involved in this?
Yeah, so Hillsdale actually had a record number of students attending. We had about 150 to 160. There were 152 students, I believe, who actually rode buses that we had rented from Hillsdale to D.C. Some people drove or flew on their own and met us out there in D.C. But we do this every year. We hire some buses. This year and last year we hired three, which is, again, a record for our club. So we hire buses. We leave Thursday night from Hillsdale, Michigan, before the march, drive through the night, get to D.C., early Friday morning, collect together at Hillsdale College's Kirby Center there on Capitol Hill. And then, of course, we march, grab some dinner afterwards, and then we actually get back on the buses Friday night and then drive through the night get back to Hillsdale Saturday morning. So it's you've got the red eye both ways. I think it's really astounding to see that there's over 100 students every year now that are willing to sacrifice some sleep on an uncomfy bus to go to this pro-life, this huge pro-life event. And I think that's really encouraging, especially in a younger generation, which, you know, if we were to believe the media, there are no young people who support the pro-life movement, but they're here. And I think it's encouraging when you are at the march, you see all these other schools, all these other colleges and high schools that show up. My sister's own university brought some buses of their own students.
What school was that? What school?
Cedarville University.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a Christian school out of Ohio.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so there were other colleges then participating? I mean, that's cool to hear. Along these lines, how diverse is the crowd?
Surprisingly diverse. I was actually just working on a piece regarding this, an op-ed. The crowd, you'd think from what you're told by mainstream culture that, you know, well, this is for old white Republicans. That's, you know, that would be the stereotype you'd expect.
And they're all fat.
Right. But no, you have, like I said, you've got young people. I saw people there. There were some nuns that I saw that were from Brazil, people of African-American heritage, Latinos, people of Asian heritage, all over. And so it's really this, you know, you talk about the American melting pot, and it's really cool because you get to see that tangibly at the March for Life. It's not just this cause that's supported by, you know, white Republicans. I mean, certainly a lot of us support the pro-life movement, but you see a diversity along political and ethnic lines. But then also, even from a religious side of things, obviously, you know, there's a heavy Christian presence in the pro-life movement. But I've seen for the last 2-3 years now, probably more, I've seen the group Secular Pro-Life show up. And so you've even got non-religious attendees who are recognizing life is something valuable. You know, it's a right that the founders believe God granted all people. And so even people of non-religious persuasion are showing up.
Wow, that's fascinating. And Jewish, I imagine, in some cases, you know, Orthodox yes. Jews.
Yes, absolutely. You're seeing, people from all different kinds of background. And I think that's it's a really awesome opportunity, especially in an age where you have this sense of tribalism along all sorts of different lines, in an age where it feels like we're maybe being divided along different lines. You've got this, I keep saying camaraderie, but I think it's the best word. You have people joining arms across divides to speak out and be a voice for the voiceless, to speak out for unborn children and their mothers who are often put in pressured situations.
Would you say that there were more men than women, or would you say it was about half and half?
I would say, just based on my own observation, I think it would be pretty equal. I mean, I saw dads carrying their kids around on the march. I saw moms pushing strollers with their children. So I think you've got a pretty even split, even along the gender lines as well.
Wow, that's interesting. If you had to guess, as far as youth versus older people, would you guess it would be just kind of mixed, you know, all of the above? But if you had to, you know, most of them were probably older than 40, I'm going to guess, you know, something like that, or maybe less, I don't know, or younger than 40.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's definitely, I would say, probably a good mix there as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would almost wonder if there were maybe more young people at the march, just because, You've got young people who are maybe more inclined to make the travels to DC than perhaps an older generation. So you definitely see a good mix, but I would almost wonder if there's not even more young people, you know, 20, 30 years old. You see lots of young families also.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, sometimes you hear that polling-wise, younger people today tend to be more pro-life than their parents are. Okay, we have about 20 seconds left to conclude. Any last remarks you want to make about the March for Life to 2020?
I would just say something about the march in general that I appreciate is that it's not a march for ourselves, unlike a lot of other protests. Other protests are saying we want to secure rights for ourselves, but the March for Life is particularly about being that voice for unborn children who can't speak for themselves. And I think that's something which sets it apart from other protests.
Good. Nolan Ryan, again, a senior at Hillsdale College. Thanks so much for being with us, Nolan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.